If you're listening to KGLR and Greenlight Radio, I am Rocky Flats. I am tuned in here right now with J-Live. Say what's up to the people, J-Live.
Peace. What's going on out there, Denver? What's good, y'all?
So, J-Live, we have not talked to you before at this station. First off, we play you all the time. We got a large fan base here for you for sure. So I wanted to, first off, thank you for doing this interview for us.
No doubt, man. My pleasure. My pleasure. Love Colorado, man. Been out there a few times. Few different cities. Coming back out there soon, actually. Going to be doing soda pop gig in late March. So look out for that. I think it's the 23rd or 24th.
So, nice. Yeah, I'm familiar with soda pop.
So
let me just ask you first a couple questions about yourself, just to get those out there for the people. First off, where did you get the name J-Live?
I came up with the name J-Live when I first started DJing, actually, because, a lot of the mixtape DJs I looked up to, you know, dope as they were, they used, at the time, four-track mixers with the hottest technology as far as being able to put down a song and then go back over it, do something else to it and all of that. And, everything I was doing was pretty much just two turntables. So, I tried to turn that hindrance into an advantage and just call myself J-Live and sort of focus on the hand skills, And then it sort of grew into the MC name as well. So it's been with me since maybe 11, 12 years old,
Nice. So what brought you to music in your life then? That kind of leads into that question. Where did music first make its impression?
Really, I'm sort of a late bloomer. I got into hip hop, I'd say, sixth, seventh grade. And, growing up in New York, but spending a lot of my summers in Indiana, I took on to it a little after the fact, Like my first big records for me was like Raising Hell and Bigger and Deffa, Like LL and Run-DMC. And it wasn't even their first work, so. But, that was around the time that I just sort of fell in love with the music going to school. Just being immersed in it, in Spanish Harlem between, playing ball and just being in that area at that time, man. It was pretty much all about hip-hop. And you had shows like Video Music Box, and then later on shows like Yo MTV Raps and Rap City that really just got you into it. And just sort of never look back. It was always, as far as I can remember since then, it's always been a part of my life. Not to mention the radio. You had Red Alert on Kiss FM, and you had Molly Marl on WBLS. So there was just so many outlets to hear good hip-hop. You didn't have to wait till the wee hours of the night. It wasn't just on college radio. It was on mainstream radio. And they would play everything from, NWA to Kwame, to King Sun, to Little Boys, to Z-Boys, to whoever the case may be. And you get a good dose of this every weekend and every day after school. It wasn't about, being a top 10, a top 40 or whatever, which is so many different flavors. So just the exposure to that at that age, really just sort of shaped and molded the direction of my music in now.
Right. Now, you got a new album out, right?
I got a new EP that's out right now called Undivided Attention, and I'm putting the finishing touches on the album. It's called Spill Dust, coming out in the spring. But nice. The EP is out, and there's a single out right now produced by Diamond D called No Time to Wait. Folks can check that out. But it's all been going and received very well, man. On the EP, there's production by Nicolay, Floyd the Locksmith, myself, this new kid coming up named Corday, and a feature Arigato on the track. I'm bringing him out there with me as well. He's an MC from the Bronx who lives in Albany right now, but he's definitely up and coming. He was on the last album that came out with BBE. Then what happened? He was on that track Olay. So, it's been a steady flow since last year with the single The Way That I Rhyme. Dropping the video for that. You can check that on YouTube. And then, between that, the EP, and the new single, it's really just gotten people ready for the new album. So when it drops in the spring, it should be a problem.
Now, what was the inspiration for the new album?
Well, it's kind of playful, like the EP kind of touches on it. But it's called Said Person of That Ability. And aside from the meaning, that you know, goes into depth on the album to explain itself. It's sort of like, you know, the MC, DJ, and producer and me are sort of at odds and kind of a split personality thing going on the record. There's some records and some of the work that I've done on the EP and on the single that sort of show I'm approaching certain songs as if I were three people, as if I was an MC, producer, and DJ as a group instead of just a solo artist. So there's a lot of that going on the record. And it's really just sort of an extension of the growth that I show from album to album, you know?
Right, right. What label is the album under?
It's on my label. It's 3TP, Triple Threat Productions. The single came out under that label. That was the first release with the actual literal label on the vinyl. The EP is out under that, and the album is under that as well. So after my record, there's a couple of other artists I'm looking to break out in the months to come.
Nice.
Between Y Super Cynic, Arigato, and a couple others. So you can look out for that.
Nice. Now, do you you got some tours coming up here? Now you mentioned working up with Soda Pop coming up here in Colorado. What else? What tours you got going on across the nation and everywhere else?
Well, they're coming up on the 27th. I got to head out to France. I'm doing a show in Nantes with MOP. Then I'm gonna hit up Brooklyn on the 1st at a spot called Southpaw, doing a show for YC The Cynics album mixtape release. I was just out in Brooklyn, actually, a couple weeks ago with Kweli at a real, real dope event. And then hit up Albany after that for a Dilla tribute, you know. And just basically when I get back, you know, heading up to South by Southwest, I got a little run that takes me through Savannah, Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans. And then we'll pretty much set up shop in Austin for a little while through South by. This will be my first time in South by, so that'll be fun. And after that, we're going to, you know, head up El Paso, Santa Fe, and then make our way through Colorado as well.
Nice. Nice. So you were mentioning Kweli and some other people that you work with. Who are some of your favorite artists that you've collaborated with?
That I've collaborated with? Definitely Paz from the last album on The Upgrade. Because, you know, I grew up on De La Soul, so it was an honor to work with him. Who else would I say? Obviously, Jazzy Jeff. You know, that's probably, you know, one of the most legendary cats I've had the pleasure of working with. I mean, there's been a ton of cats, man. It'd be kind of like going through the whole discography.
Right, right. Now, this is a question we actually ask every artist. How do you feel about music piracy, as in file sharing and pirating music off the internet? How does that make you feel as an artist in your position right now?
I mean, it's a double-edged sword. It's definitely a gift and a curse, in so much as, you know, as we do this for a living and for profit, you know, whenever someone has an opportunity to take for free what you're trying to put up for sale, it affects your bottom line. But at the same time, the fact that, you know, people who are interested in listening to your music and want to be exposed to who you are, who might not be familiar with you, that take that opportunity, you know, via whatever kind of rapid share or you know, blog download that they can find, you know, it's flattering, and it's definitely it lends itself to getting your name out there. So, you know, it's just trying to find that balance between having an online presence, giving people an opportunity to support, and not just, you know, totally wigging out when people are grabbing your stuff for free. You know, it's like I said, it's definitely, you know, it's a two-way street and it's a double-edged sword. But I think as an artist, it's definitely one thing. But as a consumer and as a hip-hop head, you know, people need to recognize the consequences, not just for the artists, but as a fan of the music and the economics of it. You know, if I can't afford to make another record because, you know, the sales didn't, you know, the demand wasn't such that, you know, I can afford to make another record, then that sort of ties my hands. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times I have cats, you know, come up to the show and cop something from the merch table, and they'll be like, you know, I got this online, but I wanted to support. You know what I mean? Or you got cats that you put up a song on your Bandcamp for like $1, and folks would throw $10 on it because they want to support. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
there's there's definitely a recognition of the fact that, you know, if you love what we're doing, you know, you sort of want to perpetuate it by supporting it, or at least, you know, putting down what the asking price is, because it's like I always say, you know, the purchase of a good record is a vote for another good record. You know what I'm saying? So your vote definitely counts, and, you know, bootlegging is like, you know, lip professing that you want somebody to win an election, but then they're not going out and voting for them on that day. So
right.
It's a natural progression of the technology, and you really can't turn back the hands of time. And you know, all these major labels that are really going through leaps and bounds to sort of get back every dollar or prevent every means that comes up. It seems kind of frivolous, but I mean, you just really, as an artist and as a consumer, it's important to recognize the pros and cons of both aspects, because, you know, when people want to complain about what gets major radio play and what sells the most and versus the kind of music that they like, they're gonna have to look themselves in the mirror and say, all right, well, you know, what am I spending my time focusing on? And what am I actually spending my dollars on to sort of advocate? Because, you know, it's like I say in sports, man, you know, the consumer is going to drive the industry, whether the consumer knows it or not. You know, if you really hate the way the college football system is set up, don't watch bowl games, don't go to bowl games. And
right.
Guess what? You're going to have yourself a playoff. So it's the same to be said for good music. If you really can't stand what's being played out there with the most attention, focus your attention on other things.
Right, right. Now, that brings up an interesting question. Where do you feel like the state of hip-hop is as far as, you know, mainstream hip-hop goes? Where do your feelings lie with that?
I just feel like, you know, hip-hop was started as an alternative to what was mainstream. So, you know, whether you're talking about people breaking, you know, cutting up disco breaks and making their own music out of it, or, you know, the first rudimentary drum machines and tapping out their own beats, you know, it was a means for the inner cities to have a voice and an alternative to the same old stuff that was out there. So the fact that hip hop has been adopted by popular culture doesn't necessarily change that. You know, it's still going to be, you know, the hip hop that dominates popular culture, and then the hip hop that's considered an alternative to that. Now, that's not an attempt to market myself or classify what I do as alternative music.
Sure. Sure.
But, you know, on its face and in a literal sense, you know, when people get tired of the same old stuff, they look to hip-hop to innovate and do something new, you know. And it's not just hip-hop. Hip-hop has spawned so many new genres of music, you know, whether electronic or whatever the case may be, that, you know, there's always going to be that factor of, all right, this is what you do when you're tired of the same old cookie-cutter assembly line stuff that's being done. You know?
Right.
So whether you're talking about rapping, singing, producing, DJing, that's what it's going to be. There's always going to be that divide between art and industry, that never-ending dance of trying to find balance between, you know, what's commercially viable, what's popular, and what's innovative, what's groundbreaking. And, you know, sometimes there's a perfect combination of those things, and sometimes, you know, artists and labels, consumers have to, and listeners, they have to make pretty much one or the other.
Right, right. You still there? Kind of broke up on us. Oh, we lost him. That's okay. We'll give him a call right back. Hey, lost you there.
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Hey, you there?
Yeah, we got cut off, I guess.
Yeah. That's okay. We just lost you right at the end there. But okay. Let me ask you then. I had one final question for you.
Okay, sure.
Where do you see yourself in 2 years?
In 2 years?
2 years.
I see myself having a nice little flat in Denver. You know, running up to Boulder, hanging out with my people up the Fox, and just living a good life.
Sounds good.
Nah, I'm playing. in a couple of years, man, I'm still going to be working on music, but I'm also going to be a little bit more focused on the label side of things as far as developing new artists. You know, it's important to me to sort of extend the same opportunity that I was extended just years ago. And there's a lot of cats coming up now that could benefit from my experience and sort of know-how as far as independent hip-hop is concerned, as far as producing records and just getting your name out there to make good music and share it with the people. So, you know, still gonna be DJing, still gonna be, you know, making beats, and definitely still gonna be rhyming. So, you know, hopefully 2 years from now we'll be, you know, at least another record deep into the game, you know, right, with a few more fans to show for it.
Definitely. Well, thanks a lot for your time. You know, I appreciate that for sure. Hey, I was wondering if we could definitely get a drop from you for the radio station.
Yeah, no doubt.
So just it's KGLR 95.3.
Say again?
It's KGLR 95.3.
KGLR 95.3, you want to drop for the show or just for the station in general?
Just for the station in general, if you can.
Okay, cool. You ready? Anytime?
Yeah, just go ahead.
Peace, y'all. What's up? This is Jay Live, and right now you're tuning to KGLR 95.3.
Sweet. Thanks, man. I greatly appreciate that.
So
thanks a lot, man. And I appreciate your patience and working with me on the delays yesterday and everything. So.
Yeah, no problem, man. My fault, too, for calling in late.
Hey, it's all good, man. It all happens. You know, and if you're if you ever come in, when you come into Boulder, you know, let us know, man. We can always get some extra promo out there for you. You know,
I suggest is maybe do a follow up interview, maybe about a week or so before the show, just to get people out there. That'd be dope.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd gladly do that for sure.
Perfect, man. Perfect. So I'll be in touch, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care.
All right. You too. Peace.
Peace.